The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass.
The one thing that connects competitive sports is their celebration of their heroes. This is a collective memory that all fans belong to, with a persistent faithfulness to recalling the pivotal moments of their team's championships and the heroes who deliver them. For instance, New England Patriots fans are always eager to share stories about the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Trailing 28-3 in the third quarter, their quarterback, Tom Brady, orchestrated a series of scoring drives, ultimately winning the game 34-28 in overtime. To this day, kids and adults playing baseball imitate that iconic moment in the 1932 World Series, when, just before the ball was pitched to him, Babe Ruth called his shot by pointing to where in the outfield he intended to hit a home run. The collective memory is vital to the human experience, as it not only provides individuals with a sense of pride and self-esteem by permanently connecting them to joyous events, but also fosters a sense of community and belonging among the thousands of others who share this history. These two senses of the collective memory, self-value and community, are not only just about the events themselves, but also about the emotions and connections they create among fans. Yet, there is no greater victory for us to remember than the victory that Christ Jesus won on the cross for us and our salvation. Today's Gospel reading from the first Sunday Advent, year C, from Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, recounts the victory our Lord won against the temptations of Satan in the desert. Even without fasting, Jesus could have resisted the works of Satan, but the message here is that the evil one does visit us in our weaknesses, whatever that is for you, hunger, drowsiness, anger, whatever it is, and he tempts us to become less than what we are through the false promise and illusions of grandeur, saying, your life will be better in some way if you commit this sin. These temptations appeal not to our true heart, which longs for union with God, but our false heart, which is our ego. However, those whose hearts have been transformed by the Sacred Heart of Jesus know that nothing is greater than the grace they have received. Christian salvation and memory are closely intertwined. We cannot be saved without remembering who Jesus is and the state of sin from which his grace and mercy have delivered us from. The Gospel of John recounts a remarkable instance of this divine truth. When the Jews attempted once more to arrest Jesus for claiming that he and God the Father are one, the text in John chapter 10 verses 39 through 42 says, then they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John first baptized, and there he remained. Many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but everything John said about this man was true. And many there came to believe in him. Yes, they came to believe in the very person they had tried to arrest because of the memory. The memory of John the Waymaker's testimony about him. Because salvation and memory are intertwined, we understand the liturgy of the Catholic Mass as the living memory of salvation history par excellence, rooted in the person of Christ Jesus. Our salvation, which is dependent upon our memory of the work of God, explains why the liturgy physically and spiritually transports us back to the night Christ Jesus commanded us to remember Him as the bread that became His flesh and the wine that became His blood. In fact, this memory fulfills what the Jews call Bikurim, or first fruits declaration, which we read in today's first reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26 verses 4 through 10. Notice how liturgical the reading itself is. As a priest takes the offering basket of first fruits after the person has confessed before him, saying, "Today I acknowledge the Lord my God, that I have indeed come into the land for which the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." Thus, we have a confession reflecting on what God has done for us, followed by a sacrificial offering, a form of the sorsum corda, returning to God what He has given us. The priest then places the basket of offering in front of the altar and calls upon them to recount the collective memory of what God has done to save all His people. After this, verse 11 states, "Then you and your household, together with the Levites and the resident alien who live among you, shall celebrate with all good things which the Lord your God has given you." This liturgy of the Bikurim declaration is fulfilled in the Catholic Mass today. Indeed, we cannot confess what we do not remember, for doing so would be committing a sin of bearing false witness. From the moments of our conception, our hearts long to declare the truth that surpasses all others. In today's second reading from Romans chapter 10 verses 8 through 13, the Apostle Paul draws from Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 14, where it is written, "No, the commandment is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it." He brings this into the light of Christ, stating, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Thus, Paul teaches us that our memory of God has taken root in our hearts. As we begin our Lenten journey this season, let us take inventory of what we remember about God, both our personal memory and our collective memory, and to make it an intention to confess to someone who may have never heard these things about us or about the work of Christ Jesus, so that their hearts will have the opportunity to hear what it has always longed for.
This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.